drive, and far side, Johnny scores! Mark Savard! The Boston Bruins are back in it!
He's made, going in on goal, he shoots, he scores! Tays up with Pavlat around. Go right to the goal. He scores! A spectacular goal by 20-year-old Jonathan Tays. You won't see any better than that.
Gavrik moves in. He scores! Marion Gavrik steps it home.
Here's Van Riemsdyk. Off the wall with it. Backhander, he scores! There's your answer. James Van Riemsdyk. To the outside, takes his own pass. Marchand along in front. Score!
And now it's time for the Blue Line on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your host, Rob Strauss and John Flacco.
Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Welcome back to another edition of the Blue Line. It is the, I guess we can call this preseason, Jared, yes, no?
Yep. Yeah, definitely the preseason.
We will call this preseason, but the Blue Line is back on Sterling High School Radio. I'm your host, Rob Strauss. John Flacco could not make it today, but we do have his predictions, and we are here today to bring you the preseason version of the NHL right here on Sterling High School Radio. We took a one-year hiatus, but we are now back and ready for a great NHL season. Just to give everybody a heads up on how this particular year is going to work out. Last year, or 2 years ago, rather, we did a show every single week. We're not going to do that this year. We're going to try doing a show once a month and kind of recap everything. I think that's a better way to do it.
Yeah, it gives more time just in between for more things to happen, not so frequent. Builds it up a little bit more. Builds up the...
It'll be a great time.
Yeah.
It'll be a really, really good time, and we're very much looking forward to it. Jared Tabor from my Radio 3 Honors class joining us, and we have our predictions, and we're going to break it up into thirds today. We'll start off with the Western Conference, the ever-dominant Western Conference,
Absolutely.
Home of the L.A. Kings, who have won two cups in 3 years with a lot of ex-Flyers.
Absolutely, yeah. As cringeworthy as it is to me, a lot of people call them Flyers West. I hate that name.
But it's true.
It is absolutely true.
It's 100% true.
It's true, but I hate the name. Hate
now,
Flyers
now,
West.
Now, as a Flyers fan,
yeah.
How do you feel about Mike Richards, Jeff Carter, Simone Gagné, and who else won a cup there?
Justin Williams.
Justin Williams winning a cup there. And you could say Ron Hextall as well.
Well, here's the thing. When they were in Philly, well, Carter and Richards, to me, they never stood out. I know Richards was the captain. To me, he was never like the guy. And then for Jeff Carter, I mean, I know people used to call him Mr. Shot from the Blue Line. Just never really liked those guys. Oh, of course, Simone Gagné. Love him. Absolutely loved him. Good for him that he got a cup. I mean, Flyers could never get it done. I mean, they made it to the cup final in 2010. Just couldn't finish it.
Yeah, I mean, it was in terms of a great Stanley Cup final, you really couldn't have asked for a better Stanley Cup final last year.
No.
A lot of people had the Kings favored in that. I thought personally that the Rangers were going to take that in six. It was really a battle of goaltenders. I believe two of the five games wound up going to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So could you ask for a better way to end a Cup final? Even if you're a Rangers fan, you got to tip your hat to the LA Kings.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Quick, Henrik Lundqvist. What else could you ask for?
Yeah, and it was I think it was one of the more higher rated Stanley Cup Finals in recent history. So that was really, really good. You have two really, really big markets in LA and New York, and some really big following. So what we're going to do now, we're going to focus on the Western Conference, and a lot of really, really good teams, surprise teams that made the playoffs last year. Are they going to make the the playoffs again this year? That we don't know. But taking a look at last year's standings, here were your playoff teams from the Central Division. You had the Colorado Avalanche, the upstart Colorado Avalanche, winning with 112 points, which was amazing. They're only third behind Anaheim and Boston for the President's Trophy. When Colorado, St. Louis, Chicago, Minnesota, Dallas, that's just from the Central alone. So yeah. You had five of the eight teams in the Western Conference playoffs from that Western Conference, from the Central Division. Central Division.
Yeah.
The only ones that were on the outside looking in were the Predators and the Winnipeg Jets. So a really, really tough division coming back. Anybody could really. I mean, Colorado's a young team.
See, what I like about Colorado is Nathan McKinnon, Landeskog, Semyon Varlamov, they're all fantastic. They're great players, young players. Patrick Waugh, as their coach, they're looking very promising.
And I believe he won the Jack Adams Trophy.
I think he did.
For Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Deservingly.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. I mean, I remember watching a few games on NHL Network over the season. When it was real early in the season, he was the first one I saw that would pull the goalie with like 3.5, 4 minutes to go. He would really start to risk it early in the season.
Yeah, and what I like about him, it's very rare that you see a successful player
mm-hmm.
turn into a successful coach.
Yeah.
Gretzky tried it. It didn't work out. There's a lot of coaches that try that were awesome players, but it just doesn't translate well
mm-hmm.
to being behind the bench. And he was one of those guys who I really, really liked. He didn't really bother Toronto that much because they were in different conferences at the time, except for when it was in Montreal. But he's just a great guy. He's got a lot of fire, and he was arguing with other coaches across the glass. You know, he just got all fired up.
I remember, I love that.
When
he had given up the 9 goals or whatever, they wouldn't take him out. Then he got on the bench and wanted to be traded immediately.
He's a
fiery character.
He is, and I tell you what, if I played for him, I wouldn't mess with him either. His resume kind of speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at Colorado, St. Louis, another team that made the playoffs last year, had a very, very good season, a plus 57 goal differential, but they backed into the playoffs, going 3-7 in their last 10.
That was horrible. Even picking up Ryan Miller, I was talking a lot about how just they didn't seem to mold quite rightly together at the end of the playoffs, just couldn't quite find their form.
And I believe that Ryan Miller's still on that roster. I'm not entirely positive. I can check into that.
I don't know if he's on that roster anymore.
We'll have to check into that for while we're talking about the Western Conference. Chicago, just a team that ran into the wrong team in the playoffs in the LA Kings. But Chicago is the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup.
I mean, they're a team that they haven't declined at all. Players are getting older, but they don't decline. And as we are now looking, Ryan Miller is now on the Vancouver Canucks.
Not a bad pickup for the Vancouver Canucks. I must have missed that one.
I still don't really like the Vancouver Canucks this year. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
rebuilding.
I have them in the Pacific Division finishing second to last.
You may be right on that because they are rebuilding. So we'll see how that winds up panning out. But getting back to Chicago, they mm-hmm. do have a very very strong chance to make it back to the Cup final, if not win the entire mm-hmm. thing. So that will be their third Cup if they win this year in 5 years.
Yeah, and I think that Corey Crawford doesn't get the credit that he deserves at all.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Fantastic.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the talent that he's surrounded mm-hmm. by. You're surrounded by Jonathan Toews and
Duncan Keith.
And all these guys that are just dynamic players, mm-hmm. and the goaltender seems to be kind of lost in the shuffle. And they're just a great team. They have offense. They have defense. They have a great arena to play in. And they're one of the – it's insane. I've been there before. It's a crazy, crazy place. But I was there when they stunk. So going right down the Central, Minnesota with Zach Parise and company over there and Ryan Suter.
Mm-hmm.
A kind of disappointing. They made it to the playoffs, didn't quite get obviously where they wanted to, but they got to the promised land and they were not able to succeed in the playoffs. But
yeah.
You still got a team that is very playoff worthy, has a really good roster there. Do they make it back?
I think they do.
I say yes.
Once we go over our final predictions, like for standings, you'll be surprised at where I place them.
The Dallas Stars, I talk about a young team that was kind of in disarray a couple years ago, really surprised some people sneaking into the playoffs last year by just 2 points over the then Phoenix Coyotes, now the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
Dallas, another team that could surprise a lot of their young talent.
One person that I would like to single out from Dallas is obviously Jamie Benn, fantastic player.
Yep.
Him and Seguin, they have that one too. Another player is Kerry Laitinen. Doesn't just like Corey Crawford. Doesn't I don't feel like he gets the credit he deserves.
Okay, and then the bottom two, rounding out the Central, were Nashville and Winnipeg. Winnipeg dealing with, I guess, some growing pains in terms of they're playing in a smaller building.
Yeah,
they were the old Atlanta Thrashers from a couple years back. Nashville's kind of in the same arena. I mean, they do have Shea Weber, he's up there for the Norris Trophy year in and year out. Doesn't quite get over the hump, but two teams that still have a lot of talent, but they play it arguably in the wrong conference in hockey. So
yeah,
88 points would get you a pretty nice seed in the Eastern Conference as it was last year. Well, not almost. It'd be a lot closer than they were in the West. Switching down to the Pacific Division, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, as we mentioned earlier, finished second in the league in total points with 116. Another team that is a great regular season team and can't really put it together in the postseason, rather.
Well, if I had to choose a team from the West, like, that I was forced to watch and support, whatever you want to say, I would probably pick the Ducks, and that's just from a stance of me being a child and watching the Mighty Ducks movie. But since I've watched hockey more, and they're a team, as you said, would they win the cup in 07, right?
Yes.
Yeah. They don't have the magic in the playoffs. That first line, though, I do have to admit, is deadly. Cogliano, Ryan Getzlaf, and Corey Perry. Fantastic, fantastic line.
And you're missing Timu Solani this year.
Yeah, that's the leadership.
Which is going to be, and I forget who they played in the playoffs when I think it might have even been Los Angeles.
It was.
It was Los Angeles.
Yeah, when they got knocked out.
And they had a real nice send-off for Timu Solani,
yeah,
a class guy who is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Will have his jersey retired, and nobody will ever wear that number ever again, and rightfully so for the Anaheim Ducks. They were the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. They were the Anaheim Ducks. They've changed names and logos probably a half dozen times since they were brought into the league back in the mid-90s. So San Jose, talking about teams that overachieve in the regular season and can't put it together in the offseason, San Jose is perennially that team in the league. They're a great regular season team, but they lose in the first or second round of the playoffs every single year, and I think this is a really, really big year for their coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't get to at minimum the Western Conference Finals, you're going to see a big shift in the front office there.
Yeah, I mean, it must be the Pacific Division, but they're just not putting it together. I mean, you have Vancouver, San Jose, and Anaheim. They just can't seem to put it together when it matters. I mean, Vancouver made the Cup Finals, what was it, 3-4 years ago?
Yep.
But they
against Boston,
they just can't quite do it. It's strange. They had good teams. I mean, San Jose is a good team year in and year out. Just can't put it together.
It will be a interesting year for the San Jose Sharks, and I only have one friend of mine who's a Sharks fan, and he's diehard with them, too. The reigning Stanley Cup champion, Los Angeles Kings, they win again this year. You're talking about a dynasty.
Absolutely.
Hands down. I almost said graduate them, so you're Sterling Sports. They didn't move a lot of their talent from last year. They're more experienced. They are the odds-on favorite with Chicago to be back in the Stanley Cup Final,
mm-hmm,
or at least a Western Conference Final, barring injury. Jonathan Quick played out of his mind in the entire playoffs.
Yeah.
Went about as far as you can go the first three rounds, seven games each round, up until the Stanley Cup Final, and they won in five. So.
I mean, that's. I think some people don't understand how much wear and tear that is on Jonathan Quick alone. That's 21 games that he's playing extra.
Yeah, for sure.
And I do think, I know I keep talking about players that don't quite get the kudos, Anže Kopitar.
I would agree with that.
Brilliant.
I would agree with that. And he had a good playoff run as well.
Yeah, him and Marion Gabrick.
Yep.
They really put it together.
Yeah. The bottom four in the Pacific are Arizona, the Coyotes, not to be confused with the Phoenix Coyotes, Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton. I don't see any of those. The only one that I can see out of those four is kind of squeaking their way into the playoffs, maybe Arizona.
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe. I don't think Calgary's quite there yet. They're still rebuilding. Vancouver, I guess their success really depends on Ryan Miller.
Yeah.
You still have the Sedin twins out there. You lost Ryan Kesler. That's a big loss for them, who Nicky Taylor really, really likes. he's not on air with us yet, but he might be. And then Edmonton is still, and by still, I mean probably the last 5 years, still in that rebuilding phase of their younger guys.
I'd like to throw my two cents in on Edmonton. They've had, I think, three top three picks in the last 3 years.
Go ahead.
This is a team that I know they're still young. They have Nugent Hopkins, Taylor Hall, Ben Scrivens in net. They just haven't molded like I think they should have. If maybe a year this year something happens, they start to see a point increase. They start to mature more as players. But where is it going to finally happen? When is it finally going to happen?
But the thing is, and I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's fine.
I mean, my thing with the NHL draft, as opposed to the other leagues like the NFL or the NBA, is that you can't. It takes a little bit more time to grow a player out of the draft mm-hmm. than it does in any one of the other three major sports. You see NBA stars, and I guess you could say the same thing for Major League Baseball. It's very rare that you have an Ovechkin or a Crosby or a Malkin who are going to come out. You know they're a first-rounder, and they're going to be on your first or second or third line. I would say 80% of the time you're taking one of these guys in the draft, and they're going down to a minor league or a junior major team and building their experience there and then hitting the NHL ice probably 3, 4, 5 years down the road. The jury's still out on Edmonton. They finished dead last by 17 points in the Western
That's
Conference.
A lot.
They finished 29-44-9. And so they are still in the process of rebuilding. That said, that wraps up our Western Conference. Let's do a little bit of predicting here. Or do you want to save the predictions for later?
Should we do them all at the end, or do you want to just do Western Conference now?
Let's do Western Conference now.
All right. Should I start or you?
I will start out the absentee ballot from John Flacco, who usually hosts us, couldn't make today's show. He has the division winners from the Central Division. He is going with the Chicago Blackhawks, and from the Pacific Division, big surprise, L.A., and then his other playoff teams in the West, St. Louis, Colorado, Dallas, Nashville, San Jose, Anaheim. That's who he's going with. Jared, I defer to you. I've won the toss. I elected to receive the kickoff.
Well, I didn't put down playoff teams. I just kind of wrote in order what I thought each division was going to finish.
Okay.
I do have the same as Mr. Flacco. I do have the Central Division being topped by Chicago and the Pacific Division being topped by Los Angeles. However, in the Central Division, I have it going Chicago, Minnesota, Colorado, St. Louis. And I think that's where it's going to end.
Okay.
I think those four teams are going to make the playoffs and then take it over to Pacific Division, L.A., Anaheim, San Jose, and Arizona.
Oh, you're throwing Coyotes in.
I am throwing the Arizona. It feels weird saying Arizona Coyotes, but
that's a bold strategy.
One player that I found that I seem to like a lot is Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
A lot of people are big on him.
I am very big on him. One player that left that I do think is going to hurt them, that if they don't make the playoffs, it would kind of make sense to me, is Verbata. I can't remember his first name.
Radim Verbata.
Radim Verbata, yeah. Quite the player.
Indeed.
I think he went to the Vancouver Canucks.
He did.
Whoops. So that's kind of a loss for them.
My division winners, I'm going to go in the Central Division. I'm going with the Pacific Division. I'm going to go San Jose Sharks because they are a great regular season team, but they stink in the playoffs.
Regular season.
And the division winner in the Central Division, I'm going with the St. Louis Blues.
Really?
The St. Louis Blues, my other playoff teams from the West, Colorado, Chicago, Dallas, Minnesota, L.A., and Anaheim. Those are my eight playoff teams. We are going to get off to a quick break. When we get back from the break, we'll break down the East Side right here on the Blue Line with your host, Rob Strauss, Jared Tabor, and the absentee ballot of John Flacco. You're listening to the Blue Line. We're back right after this.
Hello, I'm Kirsten Steffa.
And I'm John T.
With your graduation tips. Graduation is quickly approaching, and here are some things to make sure you are prepared. Be prepared for rain. In the event of an indoor graduation, each graduate will receive 4 tickets for the ceremony itself. All other attendees can view the ceremony in the auditorium.
If you plan on attending the project graduation afterwards, tickets will be sold 2 weeks prior. Bring all necessary attire.
Be sure you have passed all necessary required classes and have the minimum of 130 credits to graduate.
Be sure to keep a close watch on your attendance, latenesses, and disciplinary actions. Check with the vice principal's office if you have any questions or concerns.
If you have any other questions about your requirements to graduate, see your guidance counselor or contact the guidance office at 856-784-1335.
I'm John Tate.
And I'm Kirsten Steffa.
Congratulations and good luck to graduating class from everyone here at WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
Welcome back to the Blue Line right here on Sterling High School Radio. It's the second period. We are breaking down the Eastern Conference. We just got done breaking down the Western Conference. Rob Strauss, Jared Tabor, and a quick shout-out to John Flacco. Couldn't be here today for the inaugural 2014-2015 season preview, but he will be back hopefully in our next segment, which will be sometime in mid-November. We're going to try and keep it to once a month until the playoffs start. Once the playoffs start, we'll break down every single matchup, probably once every couple weeks, leading up to the Stanley Cup Final. So let's jump right into the Eastern Conference. You look at some of the teams from last year that made the playoffs, starting off with the Atlantic Division. I think the Boston, hands down, was far and away better than really any other team in the conference. They finished with 117 points, good enough for the President's Trophy and the curse that goes with it. Tampa Bay, the young upstart Tampa Bay Lightning, with Ben Bishop between the pipes. Everybody's a big fan of Ben Bishop. Not a household name yet, but he might be. Montreal finished in the 3 spot in the Atlantic Division, followed by Detroit, who just barely snuck in towards the very end of the season. They went on a tear in the last part of their regular season and got into the playoffs. They also got a little bit of help. Sneaking down to the Metropolitan, Pittsburgh, the Rangers, and Philadelphia, and also Columbus sneaks into the playoffs as well. So 4 from each, whereas in the West you had 5 from the Central and 3 from the Pacific. Let's start back up in the Atlantic. And I don't know about you, but I really can't see Boston, A, not making the playoffs, B, not finishing anything lower than 3rd.
I'm topping it. I can't see them not topping this again.
They
are the definition of 4 lines strong. All 4 lines are solid.
2 words. Tuukka Rask.
Yeah.
The guy's a beast. By the way, he was a Toronto draft pick. Just
so was Phil Kessel.
Putting that out there. Just putting that out there. But we'll get to Toronto in a minute. I'm sure we'll have
a lengthy discussion.
We
on
could.
Toronto.
We will. We will have a very. I'll try and keep it brief because the only one that cares is me. Boston is, like you said, 4 lines strong. They hit. They score. They play defense. They have good goaltending. They have good coaching. For whatever reason, they ran into a tougher team last year in the New York Rangers and couldn't get over the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Final. But there's really no reason why they can't duplicate what they did last year in the Atlantic.
Yeah. Who could bet against the Bruins? A third-line winger for them is Louis Erickson, who I'm not going to say would be a star, but he's a good player that could be a second-liner on a good team. Or even a first liner on a pretty bad team.
How about this stat? How's this stat grab you? Their goal differential is a plus 84.
That is
which is good for best in the league.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. Far and away better than any other team. The next closest team is the St. Louis Blues, who are a plus 57. Also the Anaheim Ducks, who are also a plus 57. So you're talking about almost 30 goal differential more. So they can score. They play defense. They're a very, very strong team. In fact, They were the second strongest team in the league behind the LA Kings in goals allowed. So
that story tells itself.
It does. It really, really does. So Boston, I think we can both agree, is going to be the bee's knees in terms of the Eastern Conference.
just like to throw this out here, earlier while I was on Twitter, I saw Barry Melrose said that he thinks that five teams from the Western Conference, like, he thinks that if it was to be league-wide, 16 teams, that only five teams from the Eastern Conference could even make it into the playoffs.
I like Melrose, and I really like his mullet, but sometimes sometimes he does get a little crazy. But I really dig that guy, and I like his. He's the only guy on ESPN that does any commentary.
Exactly.
But there's no reason, like you said, why Boston wouldn't repeat here.
Yeah, Boston, they're ridiculous.
Moving down the Atlantic, Tampa Bay, another good team with Steven Stamkos. Anytime you have him in your lineup, I know he was hurt. For some of last season,
broke
the leg, and he came back and helped them get into the playoffs. But that's another dangerous team down there that has good goaltending, good special teams, and like I said, you have that sniper like out there. Like, he's very Ovechkin Crosby like. He is. Yeah. I think he's the next guy because let's be honest. We'll get to Washington in a few minutes, but Ovechkin's running out of years.
Yeah,
and Crosby's a glass tiger. So
he absolutely is.
You know, it'll be a mixed bag, but I do expect Tampa Bay to get back. The big question mark, I think, in this division are the two of the original six teams,
of
the three in this division, Montreal and Detroit. Every time somebody tries to count out Detroit, they wind up coming back. Their consecutive playoff streak
is still going.
Where I believe they were like 8 or 10 points out with 3 weeks to go,
and they managed
to pull it back and finish in the playoff chase. Montreal is kind of an anomaly. I mean, you have
Carey Price
in net. You have PK Subban on defense, who's arguably one of the best defensemen in the league. And Detroit just doesn't age. They don't rebuild. They reload.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable this team that both of these teams are still in the mix, but I don't know which one to put the bigger question mark on. It's either Montreal or Detroit. I'm not really too sure.
I think it's got to be Detroit. Montreal, Pacioretty. Did they hold on to Vanek?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'll have to check that out.
I just think PK Subban, Max Pacioretty, I think they still they managed to get their hands on Camilleri, didn't they?
I believe they did.
Yeah, it's another team. Like, they're there. They're there when it counts.
Thomas Vanek now plays for the Minnesota Wild.
The Wild.
He's now on the Minnesota Wild. So that's another reason why the Minnesota Wild will probably be pretty good. Taking a look at some of Montreal's roster, I mean, like you said, they do have a very, very strong defense with P.K. Subban is the
leader of the
kind of the man back there. And he can hit. He can... He can do a lot of things back there. He can score. Yeah. He can fight. He's a beast, and there's no reason why he can't be probably one of the best players on that team, if not the best player on that team. Rene Bourque, Lars Eller, Alex Galchenyuk, another guy, American-born guy who could really. I can't believe Andre Markov's still in the league.
Is he really?
It blows my mind that he's still on that team. Thomas Plekanec.
Oh, he's good.
Brandon Prust, who they got from the Rangers. It can really mix it up out there. So they do have a tough team, a strong team, and it will be interesting to see where they finish. Now, Detroit, on the other hand, this could be the year. Could this be the year that they finally break the streak and they don't wind up making the playoffs? We don't know yet.
It's hard to say.
One of the other two Canadian teams in this division, the Ottawa Senators. Again, another big question mark on this team. Where are these guys going? What is their deal? And what do you got on them?
Well, I do like their goalie, Jonas Hiller. I've liked him since he was in Anaheim. I don't want to talk too much about Anaheim's goaltending situation now, but he left a good goaltending system for a good one. He's in a good system. He should be good enough to help. I'm not going to say they're going to contend because I don't really see that in the Stars. I think there's better teams in this division, but you have guys like Johnny Gaudreau who's coming up, who's on my sleeper list for this season.
Nice.
I really like Johnny Gaudreau.
Nice.
They could mix it up. You never know.
Looking at their roster, you have Craig Anderson between the pipes with Robin Lehner backing him up. A 23-year-old Swede backing up. So you do have some youth at in between the pipes there. But the big pickup for them in the offseason, I mean, it has to be Bobby Ryan. They picked up Bobby Ryan, a local product out of Cherry Hill, who was playing with Anaheim for a number of years, 27 years old, 6'2", 207 pounds. Didn't really fit in, I don't think, in Anaheim, but now he's going to come back east, and we'll see what happens there. Chris Neal, who I personally can't stand for reasons that we'll get into in a few minutes, and Milan Mihalik, Clark MacArthur, another ex-Leaf, and that kind of, and Kyle Turris, who was a once Coyote. Round out your some of your more notable guys at forward on defense. Obviously, Erik Karlsson is a monster on that blue line,
absolutely.
And you put him and Chris Phillips, and also who else they got there? Jared Cowan. It should be pretty good as over there. He's a very young defenseman from Saskatoon, 6'5", 228 pounds. So you got some.
That is a very large person.
That's a very, very large human being.
And I'd like to give my apologies real quick. I was talking about I was thinking of Calgary. When I was talking about Hiller and
Johnny
Gaudreau, that's my apologies right there.
Yeah, and I missed it too. So that just goes to show how much validity you can put into this edition
and,
of the Blue Line.
With speaking of Bobby Ryan, when he was in Anaheim, he was forced to play the wrong side because Corey Perry was older. He got to play the side he wanted. So when Bobby Ryan played in Anaheim, he had to play left wing. He's a preferred right winger. Now you start to see him play his natural position. You really start to see the production.
Moving right along to the next team that finished up on our list here, the number 67 in your program, but number one in my heart, the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have only made the playoffs once since the strike back in the mid-2000s, and this is a big year for them because we don't know what to expect of them. They missed the playoffs. They were in great position up until about March of last year, and that's a bell, up until March of last season. And then they only won three games the remainder of the season. And that was calling for Randy Carlyle's head at the end of that season. But they do have scoring. They do have a lot of talent between Phil Kessel, Joffrey Leupold. James Van Riemsdyk had an amazing season last year, and I expect him to do the same.
Still spiteful over him.
But their big question mark is two things. Their blue line is suspect at best, not to mention
between the pipes.
You have a 50-50 goalie tandem, which the Flyers fans are very, very familiar with, between Jonathan Bernier and Jamie Reimer. So it's up in the air who's the better goaltender. Bernier started the Winter Classic. Then they go back to Reimer. Then they went back to Bernier. It's going back and forth. So they do have some question marks. Is I believe they get back to the playoffs this year. I think this is wishful thinking on my part. I'm hoping that some of the guys that they bring up finally start to flourish a little bit, and you got to get something more out of your captain, Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah. I was speaking to you in the past about I'm a huge fan of Nazem Kadri.
Yep.
Fantastic player.
Yep.
I do think this is make or break for Randy Carlyle. This is his year. He's got to put something together.
It's the mecca of hockey outside of Montreal. This Toronto is the mecca of the NHL, and it's kind of like being a New York Yankee.
Yeah.
Nobody walks on water there, with the exception of Jeter. Kudos to Jeter, by the way. nobody walks on water in that town, and they're passionate about hockey. Take a Flyers fan and multiply it by 50, and that's the passion that they have for that team out there. And they made it to the playoffs 2 years ago. They were up 4-1 in Game 7 against Boston. When they were down 3-1, they battled back to force a Game 7, and they lose the game 5-4 in overtime. That was an absolute killer. But is this the year that they make it back to the playoffs and start building up that dynasty that they did have in the early to mid-90s?
Just like to say.
But you got to look at the teams that are in front of you as well.
Yeah, teams like Tampa, Montreal, Boston, Detroit.
Yep.
Matt Easterday was telling me the day after that game happened where Toronto blew the lead, you were not a happy camper. He told me they were watching the highlights and you weren't too satisfied with that.
I was really not pleased with that, as anybody wouldn't. I mean,
oh no, if I came in and the Flyers had just lost, blew the game,
but I wouldn't. You know, I'm not the kind of like rub it in your face kind of fan. But it was very difficult, and I can't even imagine being a season ticket holder. I mean, those guys are paying premium bucks for those tickets. But I'm just a guy in Jersey. I was watching the game with my brother-in-law, and my text messages started coming. Hey, congratulations, you beat Boston. I'm like, I'm not answering anybody back yet until the clock hits zero. And then all of a sudden, the text messages turned into, uh-oh, sorry. Sorry, Rob. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. I'm like, oh, my God, it killed me. And then I had to come in here the next day, which was never a good time. But I think they get back to the playoffs this year, and I think they take Detroit's spot in the eighth spot. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. Florida and Buffalo round out the bottom two in the Atlantic, and just moving along with them quickly, two teams that are kind of wallowing around in mediocrity. I love Buffalo, but the loss of Ryan Miller is really going to kill them.
Yep.
They're trying to rebuild. I've heard rumors that they're relocating that team. They're trying to, or I'm thinking about the Bills. I'm thinking about the Bills.
Yeah, you're thinking about the Bills.
I'm thinking about the Buffalo. I have football on the brain.
There isn't much to say about these two teams, though.
No, they're really, really
very mediocre.
Roberto Luongo's the guy between the pipes down in Florida.
Still a good goalie.
Still a great goalie.
And
they
are, let me rephrase that, good regular season goalie.
Right. But let's be honest, Florida's not making the playoffs, and neither is Buffalo, so it's not going to matter. Changing gears, down to the Metropolitan, four teams that made it last year, Pittsburgh, the Rangers, your Philadelphia Flyers, Columbus made it, Washington, New Jersey, Carolina, and the Islanders on the outside looking in. And I think this is the same scenario as the upper half of this bracket. There's no reason why. See, I don't think Pittsburgh wins this division this year.
I actually agree with you. After we were talking, you had said that you don't think Pittsburgh is going to top, and I was looking at it. I don't think I think I agree. I think the Rangers just, they're too strong of a team. They have Hendrik Lundqvist. Rick Nash is good in the regular season. I know we talk about playoff choking a lot.
Right, right.
Brad Richards been poor, but still.
Well, Brad Richards is not. I think they got rid of him.
Did they?
I think no. They got rid of. I forget who it was. I'll look up their roster in a minute. Pittsburgh, I think that there's too many injury elements on that team.
Well,
Crosby is injury prone. Malkin obviously is very injury prone. Marc-Andre Fleury, you don't know what you're going to get out of him every single night. Great, I would say good to above average goaltender in the regular season. In the postseason,
very poor.
Poor at best. And so I actually have the Rangers being a little bit better than the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's spend a little time with your Philadelphia Flyers.
I could talk about them all day, but
you could. And let's see what we got here for your Flyers. They lose Kimmo Tiiminen.
That's a big loss because Kimmo Tiiminen was not only one of our best defenders. He could assist. He was a very good passer of the puck.
And he's that's the mainstay of that blue line, and on a blue line that was already, let's be honest,
shaky
at best.
Yeah.
And now you take him out of it, but you do add Michael Delzato from the Rangers as soon as Kimmo Tiiminen, and we hope that he gets better, and that he's got that blood clot, and that's terrible. He's not going to retire, but it's not looking like he's coming back anytime soon. Yeah. And when he comes back, what kind of Kimmo Tiiminen are you really going to get out of him?
I'd just like to reference, not to interrupt your flow.
No, go for it, dude.
I'd like to reference Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
I remember I was watching that game. He'd got hit in the upper eye. I just thought it was going to be like a stitch, but you hear him screaming. It was terrifying. Terrifying.
Gross.
Screaming and running off the ice. It's horrible. And he was the guy. Then he got hurt. Now, Tiiminen was stepping up. He was the assistant captain. He was a very good offensive defender. And now he's going to be essentially gone for the entire year.
Yeah. And so they did sign Michael Delzato to kind of help that out a little bit. They did re-sign Andy McDonald to a multi-year extension, who they got from the Islanders in a trade last spring. So where is this team? Where are they? What are they going to do?
I have them finishing in third, and that's mainly, in my opinion, because of the offensive threat. The first line is looking like it's going to be Umberger, Giroux, and Simmons. And I like what Simmons brings to the table. He's just going to park his rear in the crease, and he's going to deflect those, bat those pucks down, put them in the back of the net.
And they open up with
Boston.
The Boston Bruins tonight, which I believe is on the NHL Network.
It is.
Not NHL Network. NBC. NBC Sports Network. I think the NHL Network will have the Toronto-Montreal game tonight. So the Flyers, and I also have a full season out of Steve Mason, who I think was an absolute steal.
Yeah.
Steal from the Columbus Blue Jackets after the Flyers gave up Bob, who wound up winning the Vezina.
I am a bit bitter about Bobrovsky. Nikki, my classmate, obviously knows that I'm a huge, huge Bobrovsky fan. I liked him since he was the rookie, since he was sitting behind Brizgalov. I always thought he had it, and then There was the one game against Pittsburgh. I think he let in like eight or nine, and then they yanked him. After that, I felt no one in Philly gave him the support. Obviously, Philadelphia fans have the attention of flies.
Yeah,
and
it
was going like that.
Yeah, this is a what have you done for me lately city in every sport. It doesn't matter if it's hockey, it's football, mm-hmm. it's basketball, it's baseball. What have you done for me lately? And that goes for anybody. Steve Mason could pitch four straight shutouts and then come into the next game, lay an egg, get pulled in the first period, and be like, oh, get rid of him. He sucks. Trade him. It's the Flyers, I think, are strong between the net. But, again, their blue line is suspect.
Yeah.
They can get scoring. If G gets off to a hot start, he did not last year.
Absolutely not.
We'll see what kind of start he gets off to. The Columbus Blue Jackets made it to the playoffs last season, just quickly going through this. Made it to the playoffs last season for the first time in their franchise. Lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Put up a really good fight.
Great fight really against the fight. Pens, but not able to. I was kind of pulling for the upstart Columbus
so,
Blue
so
Jackets to get in there. Unfortunately, they didn't. Here's my team that I think makes that is next to, in the, at least in this half of the division, or the conference, rather.
I think we're going to agree on the same team here.
That is going to make a big noise this year, and it's a make-or-break year. And that's the Washington Capitals.
Oh, we do not agree.
We do not agree. Okay, fair enough. I think I know where you're going to go, but I'm going to say the Capitals make a move this year and get back into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Ovi's he's just too good to be on bad teams. But they have question marks in net as well. They haven't had a mainstay in net. They're going with Michael Neuwirth. So the second year with Michael Neuwirth.
Braden Holtby was.
And Braden, is it Holtby?
Holtby, yeah.
They're
Braden
going Holtby
was
Excuse
not very
me.
Good
Excuse
last
me.
Season.
No.
I remember Ray Emery got him to fight such a strange night.
Yeah.
The seven goals he let in.
The bottom three in this Metropolitan Division, at least in terms of last year, New Jersey, Carolina, and the Islanders. But you're picking one of those three to make the playoffs, yeah?
I am.
Who you got?
New York Islanders.
The Islanders?
The New York Islanders.
The Islanders finished with the third worst record in the Eastern Conference, and you've had the Islanders.
I think that's a bit unfair to them. It's really tough with them. It really is. Okposo and Tavares, fantastic players. But herein lies the problem. The defense, shaky. They don't. I couldn't even tell you who their goalie is off the top of my head.
It was Nabokov last season. How are you feeling about that pick now?
I think John Tavares can light up the world.
And I don't disagree with that. But as the Washington Capitals know that, you know, one person doesn't make a team.
That is true. And back to what you're saying about Ovi. I know we're getting off topic because we were talking about the Islanders now. But Ovechkin, it's strange with him because, yes, he'll score. How many goals did he score this season? 50 plus?
Yeah.
But think about how much he's shooting and holding the puck and not thinking about passing. I'm not going to say he's not a team guy, but he's... He thinks goal, 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 goal every single time he touches the puck.
Can a brother get a Yaroslav Halak reference for the Islanders?
Oh, my goodness.
And also a Chad Johnson is the backup to the Islanders. How are you feeling about that pick now? You care to revise that? Or you know what? Write it down. You kept it.
I'm going to stick with it.
Stick with it. I like it. Let's get to predictions very, very quickly.
Okay.
Let's go to John. John Flacco, do you want to? No, I'll do your pick for you, Flacco. Okay. Flacco is saying that the Boston Bruins and New York Rangers will win their division, and his team's coming out of the East. Tampa, Montreal, Toronto, Columbus, Pittsburgh, and the Fly Guys. Those are his. Jared, what do you got?
I have Boston and New York topping.
As do I.
New York Rangers. Let me specify that. Not
yes.
The Islanders.
Oh. Now you'd really be going off the deep end.
Then from the Atlantic, I have Boston, Montreal, Tampa, and Toronto. And from the Metropolitan, I have the Rangers, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and the New York Islanders.
Okay. My other six teams, besides Boston and the Rangers,
yeah.
are going to be Tampa, Montreal, Toronto, Washington, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh. So it's pretty much all about the same. What we'll do, we'll get off to a quick break, come back from the break, and do our playoff and trophy predictions. You're listening to the Blue Line right here on Sterling High School Radio. We're back right after this.
Awake on my airplane, awake.
Man, the There's nothing good on the radio anymore. It's the same thing on every station.
Hey, not every station's like that. I just started following At Nights Radio on Twitter. They tweet news about the Sterling community and they have their own radio station.
But what makes them different?
Well, the whole station is run by students.
That's awesome, and I love Twitter. I'm going to go follow At Nights Radio right now.
Follow At Nights Radio on Twitter to receive news about sports, music, and everything Sterling.
And welcome back to the third period right here on the Blue Line on Sterling High School Radio. I'm your host, Rob Strauss, joined by Jared Tabor. And we are doing the first installment of many here on the Blue Line. This will air once a month, and it will also be archived on our website, on the Sterling High School website. Just click on the Knights Radio logo in the bottom right-hand corner. Go to Podcast, and you will find it in a folder in there labeled Blue Line, appropriately named. This is the segment. We've gone through the Eastern and Western Conference Division. Now we're going to go through our playoff predictions. We're going to go you want to go trophies first, or do you want to do
let's do cup first.
We're going to go to Mr. Flacco. Could not make it. John Flacco is one of the first founding fathers of the Blue Line, and he has the East winner. I hope you're ready for this.
Oh no,
I hope you're ready for this. Mr. Flacco, coming out of the East, has the Tampa Bay Lightning going to the Cup Final, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks.
He and I think very similarly because I have the exact
same. You have the exact same thing. Okay.
I do.
Okay. I'm going to take the Boston Bruins out of the East.
Very steady pick.
And I'm going to take the Chicago Blackhawks out of the West.
So we all agree on the Blackhawks.
We do.
All think.
We do.
Cup winner.
Cup winner, Flacco. Chicago. All right. We all agree that Chicago will win the Stanley Cup. That means that it won't happen.
Actually, can I switch to the Islanders?
No. No, you are stuck. I almost want to have like a backup cup winner.
Nah.
But I can't
kind
do that.
Of a violation. It is
kind of a violation. Let's go over to some of our – we have some trophy picks at the end of the year. We'll start off with the Hart Trophy. Mr. Flacco has Steven Stamkos.
He and I think very similarly. I couldn't decide – I put Stamkos or Ryan Getzlaf. I really couldn't decide between the two.
I went with Sidney Crosby.
Really?
Yes, I did.
I think he gets injured at some point again this year.
I don't doubt it, but
I'm not going to get into politics. Sidney Crosby's a fantastic player.
He is.
But you're always scared for him.
I agree with you. Norris Trophy for the best defenseman. I have Drew Doughty and John Flacco going with Shea Weber.
Now, you're going to think this is a shot out of a cannon. I'm pre-warning you.
Okay, go ahead.
Alex Pietrangelo.
Oh, from the St. Louis Blues.
Yep.
Well played. I like it. Vezina for the best goaltender in the league. Mr. Flacco is going with Jonathan Quick. I will go Henrik Lundqvist.
Going with Semyon Varlamov.
Varlamov from the Colorado Avalanche.
He backpacked that team last year.
He did. He absolutely did. The and then the last one we'll do is the Adams Trophy for best coach of the league. And Flacco is going with Richard from Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm going to go Bruce Boudreau from the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, or the Anaheim Ducks, or Ducks of Anaheim, whatever you want to call them this year. What do you got?
I did not have a prediction.
You did not have a prediction, but you did have a Selke, did you not?
I did.
For top defensive forward.
Sean Couturier.
You're going with Coots.
Yep, and I also had the Calder Trophy, which is
the top rookie.
Johnny Goudreau.
Yep. Yeah, I think everybody would agree with that. So there are all of our predictions in just under an hour. Not too bad. What we'll do is this will be archived on our site. Feel free to listen anytime. Send us your predictions at Knights Radio. We would love to hear. I might actually tweet that out tonight.
Find out
what everybody's predictions are and then go back 6-8 months from now and trying to find out who the big winner is. Hopefully, Jared, you join us for our next show, which will be sometime in November before the Thanksgiving break. Maybe some of the other hockey heads in the Radio 3 Honors class would like to join us. But in the meantime, it's been the first edition of many here on the Blue Line on Sterling High School Radio. I'm your host, Rob Strauss. We'll see you next time. Thanks.